joining us now. Brendan Batchelor, your voice of the Vancouver Canucks. Batch, how are you? Hands are full during trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm sorry to interrupt story time with C-Mac. That's awesome. What else do you have for us, C-Mac, old trade deadline tales?
There's a few too many to go through, Batch. It's one of those things where this is a huge day for all the networks, and the competition mm-hmm. between both sides is pretty hilarious at times, that someone gets it so much quicker than the other side, like seconds before, but you can claim victory. But yeah, the expense or the trips or the places that I was sent to just to cover deadlines, it's amazing the amount of time, energy, and effort that everyone puts into this.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember just a couple of years ago staking out a hotel lobby in Colorado for like 3 hours in the afternoon just to get the interview with Thomas Vanek as he was shipped away to Columbus that year. So obviously a little bit different watching all the proceedings from home this year with, you know, COVID and obviously the Canucks not being active at the moment because of that as well. But certainly a more active day from Jim Benning than we were expecting today, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And just a detail to catch everyone up, it was Adam Gaudette sent to Chicago for Matthew Highmore, Jordy Benn to Winnipeg for a sixth-round pick, and a fourth-round pick to Chicago for Madison Bowie and a fifth-round pick. So your initial thoughts there, Batch, on Adam Gaudette and kind of just hearing what Jim Benning had to say when he met with media earlier.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I was surprised that he made the number of moves he did, especially when we heard him say last week that, you know, he didn't think he was going to be too active. But, you know, overall, I like the Jordy Benn move. Anytime you can bring in a draft pick, that's a positive, especially, you know, in Benning's era or under his tenure. The Canucks haven't, you know, moved players out for draft picks very often. So that's a nice little piece of business, even if it is a later round pick with you know, the seller's market, or excuse me, the buyer's market that we were seeing this year. Madison Bowie is a nice depth pickup. Obviously, he's a guy that, you know, is eligible to be exposed in the expansion draft, and he's another body that they'll be able to have come in, you know, with the number of games they're going to have to play here starting Friday, 19 and in 31 days. They're going to need more than just 12 forwards and six defensemen. That's to be sure with, you know, four games in six nights almost every week and six back-to-backs. So he's a guy that, you know, probably is well cast as a seventh defenseman and may get some more game action than he might have otherwise because of the way the Canucks schedule is the rest of the year. And, you know, in terms of the Gaudette trade, I think it's been pretty interesting following the fallout from it on social media and in the fan base. I have a hard time getting, you know, too fired up about it, although I do see both sides of, you know, people that like the trade, people that don't. They're probably selling a little bit low on Adam Gaudette, and, you know, his numbers show that maybe there's more offensive upside than what he's provided for the Canucks this year. But at the same time, you know, his 200-foot game hasn't come along enough in my mind to where, you know, he was given an opportunity to try and grab the third line center ice position with this hockey club. And obviously that wasn't a fit for him, even though they played him in that role down the stretch last year and moved Brandon Sutter to the wing. It was clear this year that Travis Green, at least, didn't feel that he was a fit in that spot. And Matthew Highmore comes in. Yeah, he doesn't have the offensive upside that Gaudette does, but he'll be an energy guy. And, you know, you see the things that are said about him, you know, good team guy, puts in an honest effort, you know what you're going to get from him. Those are the kind of things that the Canucks seem to value in players that they bring in. So, you know, you're giving up offensive upside and moving Gaudette on, but I have a hard time getting fired up about a trade that, in the grand scheme of things, probably won't make a big difference for the future of either franchise going forward.
Batch, on the Dunbar Lumber text line, there's lots of texts, you know, ripping Bick and I for being house radio on here and suggesting we're too positive about this move. And, you know, the thought here that, oh, Benning should have just flipped Gaudette for draft picks because those are valuable commodities, especially with the expansion draft coming up. But I guess I would counter that Jim Benning knows how valuable draft picks and perhaps he couldn't get what he wanted to with a draft pick for Gaudette. So he picks up a prospect in someone coming back this way. But really, when you talk about opportunity, he had the opportunity in the third line role as a center. Gaudette didn't seize it. And your offensive upside, is that not, though, someone that you're going to have to play in your top six to kind of get that offensive upside? And with all the players here in Vancouver currently ahead of Gaudette on the depth chart, that was never going to be in the cards for him as long as those players stayed where they were?
Yeah, in all likelihood, although you could argue, and I see some people arguing that maybe he deserved more of a top six opportunity than a guy like Jake Virtanen has had, who has played in the top six quite a lot on the wing when the Canucks have had injuries, especially. But that's the thing to me is Jim Benning said in his media availability that it was time to move on, and I do agree in the sense that that it didn't seem like he was a fit here, right? They wanted him to develop into that third line center. That didn't happen. They had him playing wing in the bottom six, and he had some good games and certainly has the ability to score goals. I'm not going to dispute that, but his 200-foot game, as I said, it's clear from the way Benning spoke about him just over an hour ago, I guess, in the media availability, that they weren't happy with his overall 200-foot game. So they decided to move on from him. And, you're right, C-Mac. Could they have got a pick for him? Maybe they could have. We don't know. In this COVID-19 pandemic year, a lot of teams have talked about being dollar in, dollar out. So unless, you're a team that's buying and trying to make a push, such as Winnipeg, who brings in a depth guy like Jordy Benn, they're willing to give up a draft pick in that scenario. But, it may have been a situation where there wasn't a draft pick on the table for Adam Gaudette because other teams needed to make sure that they weren't taking on too much salary. We'll probably never know the true conversations that go on behind closed doors. So, yeah, it's easy to say why couldn't they have just taken a pick for him instead. But at the same time, they do open up a couple hundred thousand dollars in cap space by bringing in Highmore, who, makes a little bit less money, is signed for next year, as opposed to Gaudette, who is going to need a new contract. And, whether Highmore pans out for this team or not going forward, he is another cheaper player that could slot in your bottom six going forward. And certainly with some of the contracts that the Canucks have handed out in the past, they could use some inexpensive guys that could give them some decent minutes in the bottom six. So it remains to be seen whether Highmore can do that. And, again, I do agree with people that say that they're probably selling a little bit low on Adam Gaudette. But I guess your level of outrage or lack thereof with this trade comes down to how much belief you have in Adam Gaudette developing into a difference maker for the Chicago Blackhawks going forward, or whether you felt he could have developed into a difference maker for the Vancouver Canucks. In my opinion, I just didn't see the fit here, and so I understand them wanting to move on from him.
Well, I think that's the crux of the issue, and we're getting texts right now. It's just, we're a worse team than we were yesterday because Gaudette is better than Highmore. And I was just kind of making the point earlier, Batch. It's more about a stylistic fit, and more importantly, when you're ready to play in the playoffs. And obviously, they're likely not going to be going this year. But when you were ready, it didn't feel like they were at a stage where they could trust Adam Gaudette to play bottom 6 minutes. And to me, that speaks more about anything. We can talk about opportunity. We can talk about skill set and everything. It just, at a time, and yeah, you want depth scoring and all this sort of stuff. But if you can't rely on a guy to play consistent defensive minutes in the playoffs, then what are we really talking about here? And are you willing to spend more time developing for that, 1% chance he becomes a star versus, hey, we're going to go to the playoffs when we have guys like Besser and Miller and Hoglander and put Colson coming on our wings, that there just isn't a fit here anymore?
No, exactly. And, you look at Highmore coming in. It's easy to analyze trades, and I think we all sort of get caught doing this a little bit, where you look at the trade and you go, oh, well, one guy has more points or more goals than the other guy, so the team that's picking up the guy with less points is automatically losing the trade. And in some cases, that's true. But, again, we talk about a stylistic fit here. Whether you're someone that loved Adam Gaudette and thought he deserved more of a chance, or whether you're someone that didn't like him as a fit here, it's clear that the organization didn't have a ton of belief in him because, some of the opportunities that people are talking about that they would have liked to have seen him get, he wasn't given. And, you know, we could all individually have our own opinion about whether he deserved those opportunities or whether he was developing well as a 200-foot player or whether, you know, he would have scored more if they'd given him a chance to play up the lineup. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's clear that the organization didn't see a tremendous fit with him based on the way he was deployed, you know, based on the fact that he was scratched at times in the playoffs last year, that Travis Green clearly didn't have that trust with him to not only, you know, play at times last year, but play the center ice position this year. They had moved him to the wing, which isn't a natural spot for him. And so even if you like the player, you know, if the organization didn't see a fit for him, then he was just going to toil here anyway. And with his contract coming up at the end of the year, I don't know if there was a guarantee that they were intending to keep him in the fold and bring him back. So, you know, in that sense, if you can move him out and bring in a player that, again, I'm not here saying that Matthew Highmore has the upside of Adam Gaudette. I think it's pretty clear that he doesn't. But, you know, he may fit the style that Travis Green wants this team to play a little bit better and be a guy that can come in and be an energy fourth liner. And, yeah, probably isn't going to score you as many goals as Gaudette would. You know, almost certainly isn't going to score you as many goals as Gaudette would. But there are more things that go into trying to develop and build a winning team than just offense. And that, to me, is probably the biggest thing to take away from this trade.
Yeah, and a great point by you, Batch, to wait until we grade trades or we look at it. Because, I mean, who would have thought when Vanek got moved that Tyler Motte would amount to what he has and who he is? And that's not to suggest this trade is going to be the same, but you never really know. A couple interesting things on the press conference today that I wanted to touch on and Bick wanted to touch on as well, outside of the Gaudette angst, the Canuck Nation losing the hockey god here, is you know, the comments about Olli Juhlevi. And Benning saying that now we get to see him play a little bit more. It's been a long time since he's been in the lineup. Just your thoughts on the year he had to date and now the opportunity that presents himself for him to possibly see some more ice time.
Yeah, I think it probably means opportunity not only for him but for Jalen Chatfield, as both of those guys had sort of spelled each other in and out of the lineup earlier in the year when Travis Hamek was hurt. I think Juhlevi had some good stretches, was starting to look a lot better and a lot more consistent when he was taken out of the lineup as Hamonic returned from injury. And that was around the time that the Canucks turned things around and started playing a little bit better as well. So in that sense, he was a victim of the numbers game at that point. And I know a lot of people in the fan base really wanted to see him back in the lineup. And, you know, it looks like he's going to get that chance now and get a chance to play and potentially play quite a bit, because you look at the way the schedule is going to play out down the stretch. And Travis Green and his coaching staff are going to be forced to spread out their minutes more than they might otherwise, just because of the number of back-to-backs and the number of, you know, stretches where they play four games in 6 nights or whatever it might be. When you get into those stretches, you know, you can't be riding Alex Edler 20-plus minutes every night. Even a guy like Quinn Hughes is going to burn out if you play him a ton every single night. So that means opportunity for guys on your third pairing. And, you know, as I said earlier when talking about Madison Bowie, I think it's likely that third pairing might sort of see a rotating cast of characters because of, you know, how heavy the schedule is going to be, where maybe Juhlevi gets in for a couple of games. Maybe they get another look at Chatfield. You know, Bowie potentially gets in. You know, it remains to be seen what they're going to do in terms of calling guys up from Utica. You know, maybe Jack Rathbone, you get a chance to have a look at him late in the year. And, you know, that is the exciting thing about this return to play for the Canucks. And certainly we could all have our opinions and debate, you know, whether the NHL should be forcing these guys back to play coming off, you know, all of them pretty well having COVID, and you know, how fair or unfair it is that they're going to be forced to play 19 games in 31 nights. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be forced to play some of their young guys, and it's going to be a good opportunity for those players to showcase themselves and, you know, try to strengthen their campaign to earn jobs on this hockey club going forward in the years to come. So, you know, as much as all of those other factors are very real and certainly are worth discussing, I'm excited that we'll see more Olli Juhlevi with Jordy Benn being moved, and maybe get some of the other young players, you know, Cole Lynn, Jack Rathbone, whoever else they might be able to get into the lineup, and give those guys a chance to showcase their abilities at the NHL level.
Hey, really quickly here, we got to go to break. But how's fatherhood going?
It's good, yeah. A couple weeks in now, and starting to get into a more regular sleep pattern with our daughter, who is sleeping a little bit more during the night. So that's nice, and excited to get back into the booth and get back to calling games this weekend as well. So yeah, fatherhood's been great. Mom's healthy. Our daughter is healthy as well, and so there's nothing more you could really ask for from my perspective. We're all doing great, and things are going well.
Thanks, Batch. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you soon.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.